I know that we had this scripture a few weeks ago when we celebrated Pentecost Sunday, but I want to really remember, this is Mission Sunday, as we all know, and we're celebrating missions and ministry, not only here in Catalina and Tucson, but around the world. And we read Acts 1:8 a few weeks ago for our opening scripture. But I want to reemphasize that we each have been called to be a missionary in a sense, quote, that when we go out of here, as we always see, you're now entering the mission field. This is our mission field. And since we're small in our group, we all know that I've been learning how to do PowerPoint and learning different things, and I found this cool picture at the very end, right before, and I even found that my computer does sound effects. So I was like, cool, and it has like an explosion, because I want us to explode with God's light, with his love, with his truth. We are his hands, we are his feet. But the only way we can do that, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are listening to the Holy Spirit, we are obedient to the Holy Spirit, because there's times when we are to say something and there's times when we are not. There's times when we are to do something and there's times when we are not. So we need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit as we continue to go out there and be his missionaries, his ambassadors for Christ. We represent him. We are his love extending out to others. And sometimes that love is a tough love in a sense, so that the Holy Spirit can work on them, and then eventually they're open to hear the truth. So we need to, there was an example at the, many examples we were talking about, but one about at the library just recently. But Lord, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for your word. And so as we can all stand, please, for this time, an honor as we read the word. I know we don't have the Bible right in front of us, but I would appreciate it if all of us would stand as we read this word in honor of his precious holy word that is full of power and of truth. You shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the very bounds of the earth. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. You shall. How encouraging is that? You shall by his might. Thank you, Jesus. Carl, is this on? No sound is coming out of it. Thank you. There we go. Thank you, sir. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things, his love endures forever. Sing praise, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
I just want to remind everybody that on our Mission Sunday, when we do the offering, any non-designated tithes, the Lord's tithes and our offerings, anything that isn't designated to go here or there, it will go to missions. So we just wanted to let you know, the Four Square Missions International. So I just wanted to remind you about that.
Father God, you give us everything. You have given us everything in your Son Jesus, but you continue to give us everything. Yes. You are the most generous God. And so, Lord, we thank you that you make it possible for us to give a little bit back. So, Lord, open the floodgates. Open the floodgates and pour out your blessings so we can pour them back to you. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
While we're doing the offering, I thought, let's praise God. And let's do it to the tune of Amazing Grace.
Praise God, 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 praise God.
So, Lord, we do praise you. We do thank you for everything you've given us. Everything that we have is from you. And we thank you and praise you that just these, your tithes is 10% of the increase you've given us. That's all you ask and require. But Lord, often you bless with that above and beyond with the offerings. And Lord, it is extra blessings when we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and totally and completely with cheerful hearts obey you, even when it doesn't make sense. And I thank you and praise you that the blessings come in that obedience, Lord. I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that as we designate these, your tithes and offerings, that you will have them to be used to glorify you in ways worthy of your kingdom, Lord, with the utmost integrity. Lord, I thank you that Pathway of Hope is a light here in this community, but Lord, in the city of Tucson and the county of Pima, and also in the state of Arizona and beyond, much more beyond, as we continue to pray and support other ministries and missionaries around the world, Lord. We truly thank you and praise you for your love for us and your provision. May your blessings be on each one who is given according to your leading and obedience to you. And may your blessings be upon these offerings unto you. We truly thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. You are the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. You are the God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. And we thank you and praise you for what we have only came to us through your precious love, through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And through your Holy Spirit, we have it all. Lord, your fullness is ours, and we thank you and praise you for that. This service is yours, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have some guests, as everybody knows that we have guests today. And Diane, I had the privilege of meeting her in the Pima County Jail Library Ministry. And that was such a pleasure to meet her. And then we were able a couple times to go to work together in the pods. And she would share with me some of the stories of growing up and a missionary and in Mexico. And then I just hearing the stories and hearing how they even started being led by the Lord and going there, I go, wait a minute. This is just too awesome of a story. And so I had at a conference that I had for a Woman of the Truth Ministries, I had Diane come and she shared about the Pima County Jail Ministry. I'll have her just lightly share about that today, but most of you know about that. And I have made a couple slides that you could read on that information on the Pima County Jail Ministry. But I really wanted to especially meet her father, which I was so glad that I got to meet John. And I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Kapalas? Okay. And I forgot to ask you on that. But it was just a pleasure to be able to have them, and we worked it out so that they could both be here today so we can hear. I mean, we could have hours and hours and hours, apparently, if we were to hear everything. And Diane was telling me that she is actually starting to write a book in regards to their ministry in Mexico, or Mexico, but as we should say. But I would appreciate it. John, do you want like a bench? Would you prefer that, a little stool bench to sit on? Okay, I'll bring that close to you. But do you want both to come up, or do you want John just to come up? Oh, that's right. You guys worked it out between the two of you. So Diane's going to start, and then John.
Thank you so much. I'm like your pastor. I may not always stand behind this. I may get up and walk around a little bit. Can everybody hear? Okay, I see we got a nice artist in here. I was watching some of what you did. Really good. Anyway, I do have to tell you that just kind of off the cuff, nothing that was said before, but I have a great aunt that was praying for my mom and dad before my mom and dad even knew that she was praying. She went to Amy Simple McPherson's church in L.A., and when mom and dad gave their heart to the Lord, they went to go visit her. She said, "I have been praying for you." And they had heard about her. They really hadn't met her, you know, a whole lot. So it was one of those things that they went to go visit her, and she said, "I was praying for you for years." She says that God would just really work in your heart. And here mom and dad didn't even know that much about her. And she'd already been praying for mom and dad. So it was just kind of a beautiful thing. But when my mom and dad went to Mexico, none of us spoke Spanish. And when I mean none of us, I mean none of us. I knew how to say tacos and burritos. And yeah, that's about my extent of Spanish. My mom and dad's family both came from Greece. My dad's father came from Greece. My mother's father came from Greece. And their mothers, both of the mothers, were from here. So there wasn't really any Spanish in their language at all. So when we went to Mexico, they had heard a lot of stories about how there was white slavery and keep your daughter close and she could end up, you know, being kidnapped. So I was kept very close to the family for, you know, 2-3 years, and we had the opportunity. We had a missionary come to our family, and he said, I have this orphanage. I'd really like for your daughter to come and help us out for a while. I thought, what a great opportunity. I was almost 16 years old, and I thought, this would be great. Up to that point, I was taking a homeschool thing through the mail. It was called American Schools out of Chicago. So, because I really couldn't go to the schools down there. I didn't know the language, and mom and dad were too afraid to let me go. I went to church with them and came home with them. That was it. So when I went to the orphanage, I was literally green. I didn't know any Spanish. However, before I went to the orphanage, I knew that my dad, working all day long in different, you know, helping to build another church for a missionary, he would come home and listen to records. Well, I was in the other room, and I was asleep. And he would hear the records go over and over and over again, and it would say, "Yo puedo, tú puedes, nosotros podemos." And it was just conjugating verbs and different things that he would listen to on the record players. And I didn't know that they were making any impression because I didn't speak Spanish. But when I got to the orphanage, all of a sudden everything started just flowing. I understood some of the things the kids were saying, and I'd ask questions. I made a lot of mistakes. I have to tell you that. I made a lot of mistakes. But, you know, the children are unforgiving. They don't go, "Oh, she made a mistake. I don't think I'll say anything." No. They go, "Did you hear what she said? Did you hear what she said?" Oh, and then they would laugh their head off. Well, at nighttime, I would go into my room and I go, "Okay, this is the way you say it. That's not the way you say it. This is the way you say it." And I go over and over and over again. Within 6 months, I was pretty close to being fluent. And I really enjoyed being able to use this new thing. So this was amazing, you know, being able to actually speak the language and get that out there and being able to touch other people's lives with the Spanish language. And so that was one of the things that your pastor had asked me to speak on is how, you know, I came to Mexico and learned the Spanish language, even though, you know, my parents had to kind of keep me back. But I do also want to say a little bit about the jail, because I was asked to do that. I've been in jail ministry almost 5 years and really, really enjoy it. I go two nights a week, Monday and Tuesdays. And predominantly, I like working with the women. However, we're very shorthanded. And so I've been moved, actually working different pods, and other women have had to take over, Jenny being one of them, taking over 1J and 1P was my pod, and 1P has now been moved to 1E and 1F. So in this ministry, you see a lot of women that come in, and when you talk about the Lord, some of them they'll say, well, you know, that's okay for you. That's okay for you, but you don't know what I've done. You have no idea what I've done. And when you get to explaining to them about what God has done in other people's lives, even Paul was a murderer. So you start talking about different women of the Bible, different men of the Bible. All of a sudden, their big sin starts looking pretty normal. And they go, but do you think God could really forgive me? Absolutely. They brought one woman to me. A girl had been a new follower to the Lord, and she was just such a missionary. She'd bring these girls to me and sit them down and say, go sit down. She's going to talk to you. And I would sit there and I'd say, what's happening? And she says, well, she needs Christ. Okay, you come to the right place. So I'm talking to the person about, to the Lord, you know, talking to the girl about the Lord. And then the girl gives her heart to Jesus. And then the other girl said, you know, right before I brought her, she was going to go over and beat up this other woman. And when she means beat her up, that means half to death. And she said, but I brought her here first. And I said, so how do you feel now? She says, I feel good. I feel clean. Well, that girl never went through with that. She never hurt that girl. And that was a start of a big change in this woman's life. And the woman that brought her to the Lord is now in prison. She's had to transition from jail to prison. And she's getting out this month. And I want you to pray that she will find a place to go. You know, there's places out there, but not all of them are Christian. So just keep her in your prayer. Her name is Marlenia, and her last name is Skirkas. So she's Greek and didn't know it. But anyway, keep her in your prayers. But Skirkas, it's S-K-R-E-K-A-S. Skrekas, maybe it's Skrekas. Is Marlenia. I call her Marlena, but it's spelled Marlenia, but nobody calls her that. Everybody calls her Marlena. But anyway, just pray for her that God will open doors for her. And she just had one miracle after the other happen in prison. She's just so excited. She says, oh, Diane, she says, remember I asked you to pray for my kids that I hadn't seen them in 4 years? They came and saw me. And she says, they hugged me and kissed me. She said it had been so many years. It was so many years. She never thought she'd ever get to see her kids again because they hated her because of her lifestyle. But they finally, the walls had broke down. And that's what God can do. Getting back to Mexico, God is so miraculous. There's so many wonderful things that happened. Leaving, going, being there, the miracles of healing. Do we have a healing ministry? No. But you know what? We were obedient. Mom and Dad were obedient. I was just a little kid that went along with them. So, you know, I wasn't the missionary. They were the missionaries. I was just along for the ride. But I got to see. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. To know what I was telling one sister that my mom gave up. She sacrificed. Dad, he left his house, and you know, like Mom did. But for her, it was more of a sacrifice. For him, it was, wow, I get to go to the mission field. And Mom said, okay, God, I'll go. But she had that yearning. This is my home. My kids are going to yank them out of school. And this was a sacrifice. But each and every one of you have your mission field when you walk out that door, just like it says on the sign. It was so miraculous to see that. I loved it. I love that. So take your mission field with you and bring them in. Bring them in. Live your Christian life. When I would go to work, I lived my Christian life. I didn't pound it down their throats. There's no point in that. If you can't show Christ on the outside, you've already, you know, you've already taken a step backwards. Christ has got to be here as well as in here. When you walk outside and go to a job or have neighbors, or they've got to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to hand this over to my dad because I don't want to take up too much time. But I just want you to understand that you are missionaries, just like we, just like Mom and Dad were missionaries in Mexico. And they started in one part of Mexico, ended up on a whole other area of Mexico, just dropping God everywhere they went. Amen. Dad?
Amen. You know, the Bible says it's a blessing of the Lord to make it rich, and addeth no sorrow to it. I have two of the most wonderful children in the world.
He's 90, by the way, guys.
She's one of them. I have a son that is 67. I mean, she's 60. She'll be 67. He'll be 70 in December. But he's also been in Christian work ever since they've been saved. She's been active. Actually, Diane became the lamb that was led to the slaughter. I mean that with all my heart. Because when we took her to Mexico, she was only 14 years old. And later on, she worked in an orphanage, and she worked with young people. And she met this young man, supposedly a Christian. But her whole, I'll get to what I'm going to talk about in a minute, but I just want to mention this. Her whole purpose in accepting him and marrying him is because she wanted to extend the work of the Lord, to do what she could, to have a husband and a Mexican husband in Mexico. And she felt it was God's will that she married him. Well, after all the things she went through with this, the whole thing turned out that because of him, we got into the drug rehabilitation program, and he became the director and the teacher. I was just the administrator because I was still, you know, not all completely fluent in the Spanish language, but we needed somebody behind pushing and guiding it. So, and afterwards when we thought about it all, I said, Diane, I'm so sorry. Things turned out the way they did, but I said, when I think about it, you were sacrificed. You married him that we might move into that program, to that drug rehabilitation program. And now today, we have one of our boys is in New York City, has a congregation of 800 people. One boy that just walked the streets, lost, completely lost. We have one of our boys is up in California. Others down in Mexico City. They're in Ensenada. They're in Mexicali. They're in Tijuana. All over. I meet people in churches, and they'll come right up to me and say, do you remember me? I was saved in your drug rehab work. And it's just surprising and wonderful. But it all happened because we had a director like her husband, and she was the sacrificial lamb. Now to get back to what I'm here for, I was invited to talk about how I was called to the mission field. It was quite remarkable, to tell you the truth. But from the time I was a little boy, my mind was always out. Even on the farm, I'd get outside the barn, and I would look up at the sky, 6-7-year-old boy, and I'd wonder what was beyond all that, those stars out there. And finally, about midnight, I'd have to give up and say, well, what's beyond those stars? Well, maybe we're inside of a big globe. Well, what's on the other side of that globe? And finally, I'd have to just give up and go in the house. But through my life, God has had his hand on me every minute of my life. At the age of 9 years old, I fell off of a boxcar and landed on my back. Can't hear me?
No.
Oh, and so anyway, almost died because my I lit on the ground with my head 4 inches from the railroad track. At the age of 10, I fell down into an old coal mine shaft, and that was 450 feet deep. But how I landed running through the and falling down on this ledge that saved my life. A little later, I was bitten by a black widow spider, and on and on and on. I should have died, but even that time, they just found an antidote for that, and as went through. So we finally, when I was, our life, my wife and I had a hard life. It was poor, and we just struggling to make ends meet. And I finally couldn't take it where we were. We were on a septic tank. It backed up. She'd had a miscarriage. She had a fungus in her hair. We had a dog that had a fungus in it. It was a mess. It was a mess. So I'm trying to figure, where can I go? I'm telling the man at work about it. He told us about an apartment close to him. We moved there, and this lady moved next door to us. And she brought us to Jesus, which we knew absolutely nothing. We were completely blind about everything. And immediately, within a week, everything began to change. But that night, God gave me a new heart. I had a problem with my heart. I was a 4F. And I was supposed to have died when I was 40 years old. And but that night that I gave my heart to Jesus, he gave me a new heart. And my heart is as good today as it was the day God gave it to me. I've had too many doctors tell me that I was telling about how that even one time when I was had an acid problem and the doctor had to put me up on a thing to try to find out what the problem was. And here he was looking at my heart through this thing, and he called my wife over. And he says, "You've got to see this man's heart." Now that was about 50 years old. And he said, "I've never seen anything like it." He says, "That heart is just boom, 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 strong and steady. And today, right now, it's going boom, 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 and steady, steady." So he said, "You'll have to die of something else because you'll never die of a heart attack." Why? Because this heart was given to me by God. That's absolutely perfect. So anyway, everything began to change at my job and one thing another. But here we are at these apartments, and she brought us to the Lord, and finally the children went to church. We went to church. I began to work in the church and became the Sunday school superintendent, youth leader. And from there, we just went on and on and on. And we went to Tijuana one time with all these young people to take some toys we've been fixing up to give to some on Christmas. And somebody suggested we go to Mexico. So we went down to Mexico with all these toys, and we went into an Assembly of God Bible school. Well, while we were in there, this little bitty chapel, it wasn't more than 10, 12 feet square, but it was just for those boys. And I began to weep. I don't know why I was weeping, but just something was all over me. And I went into their where they slept, where these boys slept and where they prayed. The hairs on my arm stood straight out from my arm. Well, finally, they asked me as a youth leader to come up and say something. Well, I couldn't because I was crying so bad. I couldn't stop crying. So finally, I went out of the place there, and I went out and looked out over Tijuana, just like I'm standing here now, looking out over that, all those homes down there. And that's when God says, "You see that? There's a need. There's a great need." And there was. All you see was smoke coming up from fires every place where they're burning their trash. No idea of road, this road that way, and this road this way, a house here, a house there. No laid out blocks, you know, and houses like this. It was just any place you buy a little piece of ground, pull the adobe shack on it, and that was it. And I went back home. And I wasn't the same after that. And one day in church, there was a man by the name of Dal Walker from Indonesia came to the church to speak. And all the time he was speaking, I was mesmerized by what he was talking about. And afterwards, I went up to the altar to pray. I was up there praying on my knees and crying before the Lord. And I just cried out, and I said, "God," I say, "I hear people going to the mission field, and they go to certain places." I said, "I want to go to the mission field, but not to just some place, just to pack up and go." I says, "I want you to tell me where to go. I want you to have somebody invite me to come and work with them or something." I said, "But not just pack up and go." I said, "That I don't know, but I say I do want to do something." So I just got up off my knees, and I'm wiping my eyes, and here come Dal Walker. He had been only about 20 feet away, 25 feet away, and he come over. He left. I noticed him just saying goodbye to that man he was talking to, and he come over there, and he says, "Excuse me," he says, "what is your name?" I told him. He said, "Brother John," he said, "would you come to Indonesia? Would you come to Indonesia to work with me?" I had just got up off of my knees. I just got through saying, "God, have somebody invite me." Now, how clear can that be? How quick? Well, I'm thinking, boy, he don't waste any time, does he? So anyhow, I said, well, can I pray about it? He says, absolutely. He said, I want you to do that. And he says, when you decide, if you want to come and work with us, I will pay for your passage to get over there. I will set up all the paperwork. I'll have you a place to live. All you do, get your passport and come on over. Well, how nice would that be? You got your house, you got everything laid out, you got your permit, you got your passage paid. I let it go. Months went by, forgot about it. Well, now we're pastoring a church in Gardena, California. It's a little while later. And a man comes to the house one day in Lakewood where we lived, and he was from Honduras. He wanted to have a service in our church. He saw the name and everything, the phone number, and found out where we were. And so we sat down in the kitchen and talked. And while we were talking, all of a sudden he says, would you come to Honduras with me? He says, to work. I said, why did you ask me that? He says, I don't know. He says, it just came to my heart to ask you. I says, can I pray about it? Well, absolutely, sure. I said, okay, let me get information and I'll get in touch with you if I feel this would be God's will. Well, that went by. I forgot all about that. Then later on, now we're in like the Foursquare, they have conventions and things like that. Well, this man who was my founder of the church I was going to at the time, he was from Foursquare also. Him and John Ritchie, who was founder of Open Bible, also came out of Foursquare. And so anyway, we're in this fellowship meeting, and a man by the name of McKee, Donald McKee, he's 94 years old right now, and his birthday is 8th of this month, and I'm supposed to be there and to speak at his birthday. So anyway, while we're in the service, they invite this missionary to come up to say something for Mexico. Now, when you say Mexico, this has been a kind of a, I don't know. You say you're going to Mexico, oh, well, you're just going to go over here across the border. Yeah, well, you're really not going to the mission field. You're just going to go down here across the border. Well, I'll tell you what, if you've never been there, go down there and go across the border. You might as well be in Timbuktu, I'll tell you. You might as well be down in India or Africa. Because they've modernized it quite a bit near the border, but you get down in the interior, forget it. So anyway, this I got many times. You're just in Mexico. Now see, those souls down there, they're a little different than the souls all over the rest of the world. They're a little different. Okay, you're just in Mexico. So we'll pass that up for right now. So anyway, this missionary gets up on the platform to speak, and while he's talking, God says, I want you to contact that man. Just almost clear as if he would come right up there and tag me on the shoulder and said, I want you to contact that man. So I did. After service, I went to him. His name is Marvin Davis. Right now, I just got in contact with him now after 52 years, just about three months ago. He went into a church that I knew, and he was asking about me, and they said, well, he's right over here in Tucson. We got together. Well, I've even met him up in California when I went to my brother's funeral. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And he was from Foursquare. So we've had a lot of contact with Foursquare. In fact, if I can ever get him over here, I would like to bring him over here to one of your Sunday services. A marvelous guy, marvelous guy. Used to fly a plane and everything else. But anyway, we got to be friends, and we opened our home to him when he came up to the States and brought his baby's playpen and had a couple of boys that Diane used to play with out in open field when we moved down there. But we went to Mexico because of him. But when he came to the house and he said, John, he said, I'd like for you to come with me to work with me in Mexico. I said, bingo! That's all, Lord. I think I've got the message by now. But it had to be. See, it wasn't Indonesia. It wasn't Honduras. It was Mexico. But the thing is that God was saying, I am going to call you. And so I was definitely called to Mexico. Now, when we went down there, I when I went to my wife and I told her what had happened, I come home and she didn't want to go. So I came home from work one evening and I didn't know what to do. I knew I couldn't go by myself. And she was at the kitchen sink and she was peeling potatoes. Peelings were falling on the floor. Tears were running down her cheeks. She was crying her eyes out. And I said, "Wow, what has happened? What was that?" She said, "I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go." "Are you ready to go where?" She said, "To Mexico." And she said, "God spoke to me. He says, you either go. I've called." Now, you asked about my calling. "I called your husband. Now, you either go with him or I will." You're putting all these things before me. You're putting your home before me. You're putting your automobile, his job, your children, their education, and the your people here. She says, "You either give them or I will take them." Now listen to that. "You give them or I will take them one by one." And that's when she just broke down and said, "No, Lord, no, Lord." She said, "I would gladly give them." And I'll tell you, we would never have been able to do what we did in Mexico without her stalwart help. A real prayer warrior, I'll tell you. I had a man one time to come in and ripped up a church we built in Mexico. And I called them all together one day. And he said, "Well," he said, "one of the problems with you people is it's your wife, I can prophesy, does not pray." Oh, "Excuse me," I said, "I'd like to ask you a question." I said, "Are you up at 5 o'clock in the morning to pray?" "Well, no." "Do you pray 2 hours every morning?" "No." I says, "Well, my wife does. And she's up early, early in the morning, and she prays for at least 2 hours." And I said, "You prophesy to these people that the problem with our churches is because she don't pray. She don't pray." What is you? Just tell me, Anna.
I just said, "Hurry, you've only got 5 minutes."
Oh, I only got 5 minutes. So there, from there we are now. We're in Mexico. We're at this man's, and we had so many miracles happen. And what I want to tell you about is that first day, we were pulling a 35-foot trailer behind us. We had our old, the new Mercury automobile, about 3 years old. You don't pull a 35-foot in-park mobile home behind a car with not even a hitch. We had one of those old hitches you put on that you put screw down the chains on it, you know, to pull a little trailer to the junkyard. That's what we're pulling a trailer with. No levelers, no balancing, no nothing. So we, halfway down there, we were going up a hill, and I could hear it was hot, the bearings were screaming, and I knew we was going to lose the engine. And there was a truck in front of us, like there always are, and I couldn't get around him. Anyway, the miracle happened when we finally came up over one ridge, and I could see this big valley before us, way down about a half a mile or maybe a mile, and then it went up a hill again. I said, "This is where I'm going to get him. This is where I'm going to pass him." Well, he said, "This is where you're not going to pass me." So I went around him. I went around him and got alongside of him, and here we were, going as fast as I could go, pulling that big trailer. And him going also, we hit this curve and start up that hill. Now, you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. We started to go up that hill side by side, two lanes, the mountain on this side and a 500-foot drop-off on this side. No rail, no nothing, just two lanes, the drop-off and the mountain. Around the corner, not a block or block and a half away, came a dump truck going downhill, loaded with rocks. And he's headed right for me because I'm in this lane trying to pass him. Nowhere to go. There is nowhere to go. It's too late to get off because he's coming fast. I just put behind me in my little old pickup truck was my son. Diane was with me in the front seat with another girl. In the back seat in the pickup truck was my wife with her son. And he saw what was happening. He was trying to get my attention. He knocked the horn button clean off of the steering wheel. And she's screaming and passed out. She fainted. This is our first day in Mexico, of course. And I just dropped my face down over the steering wheel. And I said, "God, help us." Nothing happened. I opened my eyes. I mean, I'm talking about 5-10 seconds. I opened my eyes and the pickup, the mobile home, and everything is in front of that truck. We're in front of the truck. And there goes that dump truck down the road like nothing happened. We went around the corner. I seen a dirt thing over there, and I pulled off into that dirt area and stopped. My wife thought that's when she fainted. She thought, it's happened. It's happened. She fainted. And so what happened was, yeah, I'm finished with this. Yeah. Are we going to worry about 5 minutes, 5 minutes?
No, we're not going to worry about 5 minutes. If anybody, you know, has to leave, but it's still, I've gone to...
Can I have 5 minutes?
You've got time.
Because this is an interesting story. So I asked my son. I asked my son later on, what happened? He said, what happened? He said, Dad, he said, you'll never believe this. I said, yes, I will. He said, when that truck come at you, he says, all of a sudden, the truck from that size became that size. Your truck and mobile home became that size. The big truck with all the big gas tank on the back became that size. All three of you passed. And he says, all of a sudden, something just like got behind you and just went whoosh, and shoved you right in front of that truck. That was a miracle. That definitely was a great miracle. And I'll tell you one more, and then I'll let you go. Because I can't put 52 years in 25 minutes. I mean, our life was full of miracles. Full. I could just talk to you for weeks. Anyway, we were down in San Quintin. It was a little fishing village about 165 miles south of Ensenada, over impossible roads. And so we'd have to spend, to go 165 miles, we had to spend the night. We'd leave early in the morning, and we'd have to spend the night on the road and then finish the trip the next day, just to go that mileage. And 60 of that was paved. Well, asphalt. But anyway, we were on our way back. So we had our church, we had all this, but we still started that mission that far down there. That's another story why we happened to be there. But anyway, we were on our way back, and there was, that's a real windy road along the ocean, and you come to one place there where it's a real downhill, downhill, downhill for about 5 miles. And as soon as I came to that drop down there, I just came over that and started going down. I shifted down to a second gear and didn't get into low gear and found I was too late because I had no brakes. I touched the brake, and it was just... You men would know what I'm talking about. I just right to the floor with the pedal. And I said, oh, my God, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. So I rode that out just by cutting the curve on the inside and cutting this curve on the inside. But that camper was just going like this, one of the overhead campers. And so we finally made it to the bottom of the hill. Finally, it was this God. We made it to the bottom of the hill, and I could see the road straighten out, and we were coming down here, and then it would whack off like that, and I thought, oh, man, we made it. But what can I do? I still have no brakes. I'm still coasting. So I just let it coast, turned the key off, says, oh, forget it. No sense of motor running. So I just coasted up in front of this little place on the side of the road. His name is Antonio. He used to fix tires. I had my tires fixed there before. And so I rolled to a stop right in front of his place. Now, again, you're going to say, oh, this guy's exaggerating. No, I don't like exaggerating. I hate it. All right? He comes out and he says, Juanito, ¿qué pasó? What's the matter? I said, well, Antonio, I said, I've had some problems here. We got no brakes. I said, but I don't, I'm out of the truck now. I'm looking around, and on the left back corner, I looked under there, and here is oil, the brake fluid dripping on the, I looked under there. From the vibration on these roads is so bad, it just, it broke the tube that brings the brake fluid to your brake pad. Well, it leaked out all of the brake fluid, so I had no brakes anywhere. I said, I am now in trouble because I don't have any tubing, and if I did, I got no knurling tool, I've got nothing. So I said, he looked at that, he said, un momentito, Juanito, just a minute. He goes behind his little house. Here he comes walking, like this, carrying this whole set of the tubing from the back up to the front and across the front. The whole set. The whole tubing for front brakes, back brakes, up. I said, where did you get that? He says, it's for your kind of truck. He said, I had an accident over here, and he said, the guy said, you can have the truck. He said, this is the only thing I've got left, is this tubing. Yeah, that's the only thing. Put it all together. I coasted to the front. I was already 80 miles on the road. We could have broke down anywhere back there. Eh? But no. You see how God kept that good. To coasted right from there. He brought, we just went to work, got rid of the rest of it, just took that back piece, hooked it on, put the brake fluid in, bled the brakes, and on the way we went. So this is the way our life has been. And I just again say I'm so thankful. I really didn't want to come this morning. I've got to be honest. I'm just kind of backwards when it comes to people. Diane says, "Oh yeah, you're backwards. We go to the hospital. You talk to everybody. The doctors and the..." But anyway, I didn't really feel much like it. But Diane says, "You're gonna go," and now I'm glad I did. Now I'm glad I did. I've met some. I've met some wonderful people.
Can you also share the story about how you guys were out of money? I mean, you had sold your home, and because your denomination didn't support, you following God's call, and so you followed God's call.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what. So when you sold your home, and you were, got that little trailer, and
oh, yeah. Down at the beach, we were having a baptism.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we were down to 27 cents. Yeah, well, we had been helping this missionary at a little village over about 20 miles away. San Antonio de las Minas, it was called. And so he was gone, and the people came from over there, and they were going to have a baptism. I said, "Oh, great." So we went down. I'm sitting on a rock out there with my Bible early in the morning. I said, "God, I've got 27 cents to my name." And I said, "We need help. We need help." And I said, "But I know that you're going to provide somehow. You send me here and you'll take care of me." So here they come driving up in a pickup. We went down there to have this baptism. Well, unknown to me, I'm playing my guitar and we're having a great time down there. Here comes this chubby, I mean, she's a heavy set lady. She's coming down this sandy cliff, coming down. It's like going down to the beach, coming down to the ocean. And she comes up there, she's just crying. She's crying. And she says, "Oh," she said, "this is a baptism, right?" I said, "Yeah, we're having a baptism." She said, "Well," she says, I just had to come down here. God said, you go down and you join yourself with those people." She said, "I haven't been on vacation." And she says, "I have a rest home up in Bakersfield, California. I've been on vacation. I haven't paid my tithes." And she says, "Oh, I would just like to pay my tithes right now. What is your name?" I says, "John Kefalas." Pays out a checkbook. "Here you are. Here's $10 for you. Who's he?" I said, "That is Hernandez Enrique, whatever." "Okay, here's the check for him. Put his name on it." "And who is he?" "He's the pastor." "Okay, here's $10 for him. Anybody else?" "Yeah, the missionary's not here today. He's had to go into town." "What's his name?" "Marvin Davis." "Okay, here's his $10 for him. Now I got my tithes paid. Now I'm going to be leaving this afternoon." She said, "I want you to send your son over." She says, "I have a lot of things. I've been collecting food and stuff, for a month." And she says, "Maybe you could use it." She was in a motel right next to where we had our trailer. So he goes over there and comes back with a great big box on top of his head. It's full of groceries, full of groceries. Here we got a whole $10 bill. And this is the way God began to take care of us. Now I'm still waiting for my money to come from the sale of our home. We haven't had that yet. As soon as we did get the money some months later, my wife and I went through it just like we did. I told us, "I don't want that money." It was so wonderful just waiting upon God for $1, $2, $5. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. So that was the incident there, and it's been that way all the time. Been that way all the time that God is just resonant. So the Lord bless you real good, all of you. Thanks for having us here. What you going
to
do?
Oh, she wanted me to share some miracles, and I need my dad here, though, for that. When Mom was telling me about the time that, remember the young woman that was brought in front of your house in Ocotlan that was screaming and screaming?
Oh, yeah.
And how Mom went down there to pray. You tell me when I'm wrong. And then
Why don't you just tell it?
Well, I can tell it. But then what about the girl that had the one lung?
Yeah.
That she was born with only one lung and the other. And then when Mom and you prayed for her, God gave her back her lung. I wanted to expound upon that. That was so beautiful.
If you've got about a month, you go right ahead.
No. But, anyway, Mom and Dad lived in a house in Ocotlán, Jalisco. That's where God had called them to do mission work. And the area that they lived in was not a bad area. So this family that had a child that was, they thought she was retarded. She screamed all the time. And it was tiring to listen to this. So they would take her every day and drop her off on the corner of this, you know, these homes. And then they would go back home because that way they didn't have to listen to her. And her hair was disheveled and she'd just scream and scream and scream. And Mom listened to it for, it seemed like months, maybe 2 months. And the way Mom told me the story, she came out of her house and she walked over there and she talked to the little girl, but the little girl's just screaming and pulling her hair and whatnot. And all the little people around there, they're going to, what's this American missionary going to do? What's she going to do? And so Mom realized that this little girl needed prayer, so Mom went to put her hand on her, and the little girl reacted, and Mom realized this is Satan. So Mom puts her hand on this little girl's head, and then Dad came out, and between the two of them, they prayed for her, cast this demon out of her, and it wasn't until later that a friend of Mom and Dad's said that they knew this woman that had a child that they would drop her off over close to where Mom and Dad's house was, and that all of a sudden this whatever it was inside of her left, and they said, you wouldn't believe this, this girl's fine. And Dad said, well, that was my wife that prayed for that little girl. And she goes, oh, that was Sister Chavello that was telling Mom, I think it was. And it was just a miracle. And they had a young woman that was coming to their church, and she had epilepsy, but she also had a hard time breathing a lot. And so Mom and Dad said they were going to pray. If you need to say that's not the way it goes, you let me know. And they were praying with her because she was having hard times breathing. And when she went back to the doctor was shocked. He says, well, what happened here? She goes, what do you mean? He's, you got another lung. It's working. A working lung. I mean, it was completely shriveled and it came back. So, you know, these are the miracles. There's so many amazing things that God has done. And they weren't called to lay hands on the sick. You know, they were called to preach the gospel. That's what Mom and Dad did. God said, you go. And like my mom, she says, God, what am I going to do? I can't even talk to these people. He says, you go, I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what you shall say. And that's exactly what happened. Dad says, God, God says, you're going to go. You're going to go because I've called you. And Dad went. And this is the miracles that God had put in Mom and Dad's lives. And it was so much that when Dad would say, Lord, what am I going to do here? I've got a real beautiful brand new car, but I need to go where I can't take a car. And here comes a missionary that's got a power wagon. And Dad says, oh, God, I could really use that. What am I going to do? I know. And the missionary says, hey, I'll trade you. He goes, whoa, God, if this is your will, I'll set a fleece. In the morning, if the windows are wet and the car is dry, I know that's you. In the morning, the windows were wet and the car was dry. He said, oh, that, woo, woo, do, 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 do. He said, okay, one more. If the windows are dry and the car is wet, then I'll really know it's you. In the morning, the windows were wet and the car was dry. And he goes, okay. And they used that power wagon for years, going into areas that the car couldn't go. In one of the places that they went into, God, and I'm going to go real quick with this. They drove into a town that God says, go. And Dad didn't know where he was going, but he just started driving down into this town called San Quintín, which in English is San Quentin. Dad stopped at the first house. It was just him and a couple of other men. And they were searching for a place to put a church, or they were just trying to go with what God said. And they stopped at this one house. Why that house? Why not the house beyond it? Why not the house before it? But they stopped at this house, knocked on the door, an American woman came to the door. An American. And he could barely see into her house. A Mexican man came out. They were two people that had between them 14 children, four of which had died, or 17 children, four that had died earlier. He was an alcoholic. Dad didn't know any of this story, but they invited him to come in. They came in, they sang, they gave them the word of God, they prayed with them, and they went to their little power wagon and stayed the night there. And in the morning, While Dad was out having coffee, this man came to him. Dad had given them a Bible. And he read that Bible through the night. And in the morning he said, "You don't know this, but last night I was going to commit suicide." He said, "I had lived my whole life since my children had died in a fire. And I didn't listen to them. I left them in the house by themselves and they cried, 'Dad, don't leave us here. Take us with you.'" And the wife was out washing the clothes. He says, "Oh, no, you'll be fine. Mom will be home in a minute." Well, they start playing with matches and burnt the house down with them in it. He says, "I've never been able to forgive myself until today." He says, "God loves me that much." He says that he sent you. Those two and their children, those two came to the Lord because of that. A church was erected there because of that. And because Dad was obedient, because he listened. These are amazing things. When she died at 90 years old, Mom and Dad went to go visit her, and she was just getting a little senile, and she goes, "Don't you tell me your brother and sister Kafalos. I know them. And she realized it was Mom and Dad. But she was so, so in love with my mom and dad because of what they had done to their family. And he served God and did not drink after that, even though the men in that town would hold him down and they'd say, "Wait a minute, you're no man. A man drinks." And they'd hold him down and throw liquor down his mouth. He never would get drunk and he'd never go back because he fell in love with the man that Dad and these other missionaries had introduced him to. And this is just a small. I'm going to leave you with that, and you can go ahead and take over from now. There's just so many beautiful things. But thank you for having us. Thank you for, you know, just being so patient with us. And we love you guys. Thank you so much for letting us stay here.
Thank you. Pastor Karen, do you want at this time to have a prayer ministry or a closing song? Okay.
Wow. I love that because I just encourage us all to be that missionary, that light, wherever we're at, but to listen to God and to be obedient no matter what. I hear that. And you're throughout everything that you guys are saying, you know, it's like you keep saying you hear from the Lord and you obeyed. I mean, God loved just those two people and those children. And it's like those lives wouldn't be touched if it wasn't for obeying him. And just think, as we listen to God and we obey him, the lives that will be touched. But it's that obedience. It's that even when it doesn't make sense, we need to obey. And so that is just a big thing on my heart for us to just continue to grow in the Lord. And I loved it when that God was stirring on that, when God had you and Carl, Chris and Carl, start that hearing God. And we were, you know, using Dr. Mark Berkler, and they were using that program that he had, or that seminar, and teaching on how God had taught him how to hear from God. And God was speaking to us and helping us and being in the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and listen and obey no matter what. But there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. So we will have a prayer time afterwards. If anybody wants to have prayer, you know that we're always, you know, Dick and Chris are welcome to pray. But instead of having our prayer altar ministry this time, what I want us to do is to be receiving his healing and ministering power as we are worshiping him. Often we hear of how God heals and ministers to people. Just presenting it, he knows your needs. He knows your unspoken prayer requests. He knows where you need maybe some healing, maybe some loved ones, lifting them up during this time. So if you don't feel like led to be joining us in the worship songs, don't. Be praying to God. And as we are worshiping, God is hearing those prayers and they are being thrown up while we're worshiping. He is surrounding those prayers and he will answer them according to his will, his way, his timing. But we need to trust him. And we need to rest in that. Thank you, Pastor.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I am afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you